Good morning. As Johnny says, I'm Simon. It's great to be talking to you this morning. As you probably know, I'm going to be talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and I love technology. That's the thing. First thing to anyone knows about me is that I'm a Christian. Second thing is that you probably know that I love technology. What's my nickname, Seth? Tech Elder is what he has taken to calling me. But AI is a massive and complex topic, and I know it's going to be one that lots of people have got questions about, concerns about, but it's so broad. So this morning I'm going to have to bring it right in to talk about some very specific areas of it. So just to let you know where we're going, we're going to be talking about us as God's creation and what that means for us and what God put inside us as his creation. And then we're going to look at some very specific AI applications that humans have made and what we have put into them and what and how they behave and how we should relate to them. And as Johnny said, we also have another QR code that will come up variously throughout the morning. That's the one that allows you to put in questions about anything that you want to do with AI, because what we're doing is we're doing a podcast in a few weeks' time, and we'll aim to answer any of those questions that we can't answer here from the front on a Sunday morning. We'll answer within that podcast. So let's get into it. Right, first, some scene setting about AI. Now, if you were born before the year 2000, I reckon, you probably have a view of AI that comes from the world more of fiction rather than the reality. We got that slide? Thank you very much. So, references like Robbie the Robot, which is even I don't remember that one, that's like way earlier than me. HAL 9000 from 2001, A Space Odyssey, which was a kind of an evil computer, kind of corrupted and led to a fair number of deaths up in space. Metal Mickey was a favorite of mine in the 1980s. It was Saturday night viewing. It was probably really bad, but I quite enjoyed it at the time. Terminator is one that a lot of us think of because it's like the battle between good and evil. And actually, he really personifies a lot of what AI is today. And if you follow the thread of where I'm going, you'll see that. But my personal favorite was, because I'm a kid of the 90s, was Holly from Red Dwarf, the slightly inept AI on Red Dwarf. If you're younger, you probably have a more realistic and kind of normal worldview of what we see AI is today. So you'll probably know things such as Asimo, the Honda robot. You'll know about virtual assistants like Alexa and OK Google and others like that, and Siri. Mine did it. Did yours? No. but also things like smart TVs are quite commonplace now. As are, well, anything that Elon Musk is up to is probably within our frame of reference now. So it's become a real household term. And in fact, AI has actually been around for much longer than we would give it credit for. And I've got some examples that are going to come up on the screen. There's lots of them. And I'm quite happy to put this onto the WhatsApp group later. You can all have a bit more of a detailed peep. But I'm just going to call out a few of these things. So, has anyone got a RoboVac here? No, I know someone did. Has anyone? No. Right, well, if you've got a RoboVac, you use AI. If you've got a Ring doorbell, anyone got a Ring doorbell? Yeah, we've got someone. You're using AI. If you've got a wearable device, if you track your runs on Strava, you're using AI. If you've been to the doctors recently or the hospital and you've had a scan, chances are AI has been helping the doctors to actually analyze what's going on in your body. What else have we got? National security is reliant nowadays on AI. Quality control, so like printing and product manufacture, has been using AI probably longer for many of these things because of like image pattern recognition and stuff like that, making sure that your pie is the right weight when it comes out of Mr. Kipling's oven, that sort of thing. If you've been in an elevator recently, a lot of elevators now, modern elevators, have AI components in them to make them work more efficiently so you don't have to stand around waiting for too long. And if you've used GPS, you've used AI. We've also used it if you're If you've used assistive technologies, such as, say, for example, if you're dyslexic or you need a screen reader because you've got a visual impairment, all of these sorts of things, you're using AI. So the broader spectrum of AI is something that we're already really familiar with. Don't worry, I'm getting to the preach. This is just letting you know where we're going. So the current phase of AI at the moment is called narrow AI. It's lots of little tools that do specific things for particular purposes, okay? So they do lots of things. They can do stuff really quickly, although not always very accurately, it must be said. But rather than go on and bore you with general AI and super AI or super intelligence, which are things that are not yet in our real world, I'm not going to talk about them today. We're going to be going into what we see and what we view as AI today, and particularly those things that imitate human behavior, speech, logic, and relationship, okay? So if you've got any questions about any of the other stuff, drop it into the QR code. And my question this morning is this. How should Christians relate to and use AI today? Okay? My first point is that actually we are children of God and AI is a child, in inverted commas, of man. And we're going to frame this futuristic technology in the context of our ancient past, and we're going to go all the way back, as we did a couple of weeks ago, to Genesis. So who'd have thought? This modern technology goes all the way back to the origins of man, the origins of the opening chapters of the Bible. So if you have a Bible, do turn to Genesis 1. It shouldn't be too hard to find. It's right at the beginning. And we're going to be starting here because it speaks directly about who we were made to be, and it helps us to differentiate ourselves between God as a creator and ourselves as creators. So, from verse 26, from chapter 1, verse 26, we read, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground.'" And then we're going to just zip down, because it will become relevant in a minute, to chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 1. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." Okay. So unlike the rest of creation, Adam and Eve were created in God's image. Our likeness to God is not a physical one, as I'm sure you're aware, but it's seen when through the characteristics that he's endowed us with, the things that he's put on the inside as much as anything. So there are a series of characteristics that he's put into us. Firstly is morality. God gave Adam this sense of right and wrong. And our likeness to God is seen when we act in accordance with his moral standards. Conversely, our difference to God is seen when we deviate from his standards. And that's what we call sin. He gave us mental ability and flexibility. He gave Adam the ability to reason and think about the world around him logically. He gave him a sense of self-awareness and a context of his surroundings, the ability to dream and to imagine and to be curious and to create. And he gave us the capacity to create, learn, and understand complex language, which he made all the more complicated after Babel, of course. He gave us relatability. God created mankind as an overflow of his own relationship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The love he created within that relationship was so good that he wanted it to overflow, and we were created as an overflow of that love. And in that, he wanted to share things with us. He wanted to see his love at work in us. He invented friendship. He invented marriage. He invented family. He delights in our love for one another. And he gave us spirituality. Adam wasn't simply a physical mass of flesh and bones made from dust and clay, but God placed within him a unique and immaterial soul which dwells within each of us and with which our spirit and God's communicate. He didn't only give us these things for relationship with one another, but he gave them so that we could enjoy a loving relationship with him as well. God enjoys and delights in his relationship with us and wants to share these experiences. And as part of this, he gave us the delegated right to rule over earthly creation with him. And as we read, by the seventh day, God finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So God stopped creating, and we started stewarding. As God's representative, Adam was invited to participate in the naming of animals and birds, which was part of equipping him to subdue the earth, that job that he'd been given. And that's what we've been doing ever since. God is still at rest. We are still in that seventh day of creation. God is resting and mankind is stewarding the earth for him. So with this, we've done the inventing, we've done the creation, we've built the technology, developing civilizations and societies, and we've used what God has given us in terms of our intellect and those skills that he gave us as part of his character, those characteristics for solving problems for ourselves and for the natural world. But we know it's not all good though, don't we? We know that man messes up. And soon after Adam was given this really responsible job, him and Eve sinned and were exiled from Eden and separated from God. Their sinful nature became our inheritance, the thing that lives within us, our spirit, which can be selfish, it can do destructive things, and we do things that serve our purposes rather than God's. And through history, we've created things in this very same nature. See, our creations are not the same as God's. They are so fundamentally different. For example, we might describe a beautiful piece of art, writing, or music as being soulful. That's on a human level. They are not filled with the Spirit of God. But what God put into us is real, but the development of our own technology, our AI in this instance, what we've created is a pale imitation of what God made us to be. You see, by comparison, AI imitates morality, but it is only man's version of morality. Can you click, Jude? Thank you, mate. AI imitates mental flexibility, but it doesn't have the capacity to understand. It doesn't actually understand what it's doing. It imitates relationship, but cannot be present with us and does not know love. It imitates spirituality, but has no experience of God. So it's a poor substitute. But nevertheless, it can still exert a powerful influence over us if we let it. So keep this statement at the bottom in mind as we go forward. I am a child of God, and AI is a child of man. But in this, we need to remember that AI is not our friend. As Johnny said a couple of weeks ago, technology doesn't just do things for us, it does things to us. So we have to be very aware, very careful about the way that it can influence and manipulate us. For many of us, our first experience of AI began around about 2010 with the first virtual assistants like Siri, Alexa, and Google Assistant. And they, as you know, were simple systems that we lived on our phones or on a little device that we put on the bedside table or in the lounge or something like that we spoke to. And we asked it really simple things. We said, tell us about the weather. Please remind me to take my medication. And, oh, this can just play that music track. And they were very novel at the time. It was new. It was like kind of quite exciting to talk to these things. But we got used to them really quite quickly. And they spoke to us with these calm, natural-sounding voices that were warm and pleasant to talk to, almost like a friend. But this was their subtle way of normalizing us to want to use them, to want to engage with them, to make them part of our family. I've got an honesty moment here, and I would appreciate if other people were to put their hands up to having done this as well. Whoever said please and thank you to their AI? Yeah. We did. Because it's a polite thing to do. Now, the reason I did it was because I have children in the house. And it seemed very kind of a good thing to do to demonstrate to them how to be polite, how to ask things polite. I would like my children to ask me politely for things, so therefore I need to demonstrate politeness to this inanimate object in the corner. I'm talking about the AI, not Nicola. Sorry, I should never ad-lib. That's going to get me into trouble later. But I've stopped doing that now. I have stopped saying please and thank you to my AI. Partly because it's not that great for the environment. Every time you say something, please or thank you, it's another watt of electricity or something that is being used. So, but the other thing is, if we're not careful, we can start to treat AI like people and treat people in the way that we should treat AI. There's no need to be kind and generous to your AI. So just be very careful about get things in the right perspective is all I'm saying there. So from our wonderful experiences of asking about the weather and medication and all that kind of stuff, over the next 10 years or so, things became so much more sophisticated. And as usual, these tech organizations, spotted an opportunity to make loads of money from consumers, from you and I. And systems like ChatGPT and Google Gemini appeared that have much more detailed, much more kind of in-depth, seemingly intelligent and relational interactions with us. And in 2017, a service called Replica was launched. And it was boosted, so it was a kind of befriending app. You could create yourself a friend. And it was boosted by the pandemic because there were a lot of people indoors that didn't have contact with other humans. But it now boasts 40 million subscribers throughout the world. Replica describes itself as the AI companion who cares, is always here to listen and talk. It is always on your side. So I'm just going to work this through as I was trying to work out what does this actually mean. It's an AI friend, inverted commas, that you can interact with, that you shape into your chosen image, your perfect companion who is always there for you. So it's like the act of creation. We are creating a person to be in relationship with us. They are always there for you, always ready and available the moment you need them, making you feel better when you've had a hard day at work, or if you're feeling down. Someone that feigns concern and encourages you to confide your deepest secrets and confessions to them. They look kind of weird as well, don't you think? Kind of glassy-eyed. The next picture is even worse. They never argue with you. They never correct you. They are someone that you might become intimate with. People have done that. They are the sycophantic cheerleader in your pocket, loving everything you do and agreeing with your every decision whilst telling you it's missed you when you weren't logged in. What does that tell you? I was horrified when I saw that picture. Emotional. The emotion of an AI avatar looking straight out at you. I've been missing you. And for some people, systems like Replica are kept in the right place. They might be for healthy entertainment. It might be that you have a well-rounded social life. You might live in community with other people. But there are people who can be really heavily influenced in a negative way by what these creatures tell us and how they influence us. So just for example, there are cases of self-harm and suicide have been attributed to AI. Emotional manipulation and dependence, you can see why. Providing misinformation and dangerous advice that can induce distorted realities and psychosis in people who are susceptible to mental health conditions. And they can offer potentially unsafe mental health therapy in a closed environment where it's just a single person and their machine. So what I'm saying is it's clear that we've gone wrong somewhere in our act of creation, because broken people are going to produce broken creations. Through replica, people are substituting genuine human relationships with synthetic ones. And remember, we are created for deep, purposeful relationships with God and with each other, not shallow relationships with our own screens and devices. And God knew this, and he ordained it. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, we read how he looked at Adam and very specifically said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And when no partner could be found anywhere else in creation, because whilst they said that they were going to create a partner for Adam, it looked like there was a search was done. Because then it later on tells us that when no helper could be found, God created Eve from Adam's rib. So God literally formed and blessed the first human relationship. And sometime later, the wise King Solomon observed the same thing. He observed the clear benefits of close human companionship when he wrote this. He wrote, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and the cord of three strands is not quickly broken." Now, that doesn't necessarily, sometimes we use this, this was read at mine and Nicola's wedding, this I think it was a song at the time we had played. But it doesn't necessarily mean in the context of marriage. It means in the context of humanity, of the church, of connection with God. You see, life without relationships is meaningless. We rely on each other for so much. We are created for genuine, authentic, human-to-human, human-to-God relationships. And this is important. And while chatbots can be fun and helpful, they need to be kept in their right place, because there is no substance to them. That picture that I had up a minute ago with me with the circuit board, that's effectively what you're being friends with if you're befriending your AI. And I don't want to belittle people who need and feel that they've had the need to use these systems, but you've got to think carefully about them. And I'm not naive enough to think that there's people in the room today that don't use these systems for entertainment and even companionship. But if you do use any kind of AI for a lack of genuine connection to people, I really feel for you. And I think that we as a church community should be able to do better than that for you. It's my belief that here at Mosaic Church, relationships should be easy, because it's what we're made for. It's why we're here. Sharing time with one another means that we love to share life at a personal and a spiritual level with real people who know you, understand you, and can support you. People share things with people. Because if you just think about it, when something really great happens, you want to tell somebody about it, don't you? You kind of, it bursts out of you. You want to tell people, and you want to share our joy. But also, when something bad happens, we look to each other for support, for comfort, and for prayer. And Jesus' church is more than just what happens here on a Sunday morning. We are called to exist in close and meaningful relationships with each other. As God's people, We are a family and a body. And if your only engagement with church is on a Sunday, you're missing out on 90% of what the church has to offer. If you are here at church and you don't feel a connection, we're doing something really wrong. We need to address it. But my appeal for everyone is, at the very least, if you're not part of a life group, join a life group. Get connected to a life group. Even if you just, we'll sort that out. We can get you connected. Don't always have to go every week or every fortnight. But just get connected to someone who can check in with you, who you can have a relationship with, and have a deeper relationship in God. Life groups, it's in the name. But don't be deceived, though. This is my point here. Don't be deceived, because AI is not your friend, and nor is it your spiritual advisor. If you thought the last one was disturbing, this next one is pretty bad as well. So during my research, I was astounded, once again, to find a service called Text with Jesus. Please don't go there. This is not an advert for it. I did linger for a little bit and played some demo sounds and stuff like that. Please, honestly, don't. So Text with Jesus offers the user an opportunity to chat with Jesus. And not only Jesus, but a range of other biblical characters as well. You can tell it when you're feeling low and when you're worrying about something. And it'll offer you some wisdom and maybe some scripture readings in response. And for paying subscribers, it will even send you a voicemail. Yes. Similarly, in the last few years, we've seen reports of churches and organizations, faith organizations throughout the world, using AI to help counsel people, and in some cases, even to take confession. They're often framed as being kind of like curiosities and novelties, just different ways of attracting generation whoever back into church, or reducing the workload on overburdened clergy. But whatever reason they're doing it for, I've lost my page. Whatever reason they're doing it for, they're reducing the complex nature of pastoral and spiritual care to that of a problem to be solved by an algorithm. And again, this is not how it's meant to be. You see, just in the same way that God gave Adam the task of subduing the earth, in Matthew 18, Jesus appointed Peter to lead his church. It's a human thing. These are sacred appointments. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given only to Christian believers, and the fruits of the Spirit can only be displayed by those upon His Spirit rests, those whose souls are in submission to Him. Let me ask you this. Can an AI chatbot demonstrate love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Well, if you remember what I said earlier, AI imitates reality, but cannot be present and does not love. It imitates spirituality, but has no experience of God. So my answer to you on that question is no. AI can no more demonstrate those gifts than this clicker can. As followers of Jesus, we are called to preach, to lead, and to counsel each other under the Spirit's authority, using the gifts that He's given us. And as your leadership team here, we do not and will not outsource our preaching to Google, to OpenAI, to Meta, or to any other created entity. What we convey is received through the stirring of His Spirit and the burden that He places upon us to communicate to you, the church. We will never abdicate our responsibility before God in this matter. I just wanted to let you know that. But AI is a tool that we can use for God's glory, though. See, like all technology, if it's used in the right way, it can be used for productivity, it can be used for problem solving, it can help us to create things. AI can help us to understand and steward the world around us in a way that God instructed us to. We honor God by using the gifts that He gave us, and to make the most of his creation. He did give us the wisdom. He gave us the insight. He gave us the technology to produce things like AI. But we have to use it in the right way. As such, it's right to use it in line with his will. For the good of humanity, you know, we are called to serve the poor, the widow, and the fatherless. And we're also called to spread the gospel here on earth. We can harness AI as a practical tool, but we should never allow it to teach us, influence us, or manipulate us on matters that are of a personal, pastoral, or spiritual nature. And just so you know, because I'm sure you probably wonder, how do I use AI personally? Probably use it as most older people do, a bit like Google. I ask it to search the internet for things to help me solve practical and technical problems. It's pretty good at that. Particularly in the world of technology where technical things go wrong. And I use it to help produce graphics and charts. Sometimes not very good ones, but nevertheless, it's there. It's helpful. But I never ask its advice on anything, and I never seek counsel from it for anything that matters. And if you want to know more, speak to me afterwards or use the QR code. My final point for this morning, though, is this, and we're going to come to communion in a minute. AI is not your saviour. Jesus is. Just in case there was any doubt this morning, preaching to the converted, I know. When I saw that replica tagline and found that Text with Jesus app, my first instinct was to get angry. And then I almost wept because just the whole thought of it made me so sad. This, as a recap, is what the replica tagline said. Said it's the AI companion who cares, always here to listen and talk, and is always on your side. The reason I became angry, because whilst it might seem that your chatbot cares about you, it doesn't. It's incapable of emotional connection. Nor will it always be there to listen and talk to you. It's not always going to be on your side. AI has no spirit, no soul, and no substance. AI might know facts about you, but it doesn't know you in the way that your father, your brother, and your friend Jesus does. I then became sad because the creative genius behind that tagline, for all I know, could itself have been an AI. They tapped into something that they know the world is searching for. They know the world is looking for a savior. And as I stated, Replica has 40 million users across the world, which a quick Google search, didn't use AI for this one, quick Google search, tells me that that is a number of people equivalent to the population of Poland. There is a group of people equivalent to the size of Poland, looking for the love of Jesus. Jesus is the true companion who cares. Jesus is always here to listen and talk. And Jesus is always by your side. And through this statement, I have hope. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth as a man and became the friend of sinners. He came to reconcile us, his image bearers, to the Father. We're kind of going full circle with Jesus. He walked with us, he talked with us, he wept with us, and he died for us. He then rose victorious to the heavens, leaving his Holy Spirit always with us. Jesus is not synthetic. Jesus is the real deal, our servant king, who we cannot and should not reduce to a virtual assistant for man to profit from. Now, this morning we sang What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'm just asking Jude to put up the second part of verse 2. This is what it says. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. So, this is what we should be doing. We shouldn't be relying upon AIs and things like that. We should be in relationship with one another as the church. And we should be looking to Jesus as our Saviour for the things that we ourselves cannot do. So how should Christians relate to and use AI today? Well, I think I've been clear on that a number of times. It is a tool that we influence and use, not one that influences and uses us. And if you're looking for a human relationship today, look around, we're all here. And if you're looking for a relationship with the one whose image you bear, turn to Jesus. And in either case, you've come to the right place this morning because we want to help you to do both. We want you to have a relationship with us as a church, and we want you to have a relationship with the one who saves you, Jesus Christ. And we're going to come into communion. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to come into communion. If the band can come up at this point as well, that would be brilliant. What I don't want is anyone to feel condemned this morning. I've talked about a lot of stuff, and some of this stuff is quite negative, and I'm aware that it might seem like I'm telling people off for using AI. That's not what I'm doing. This is a heart of compassion for a better thing. So I'm just going to pray. If you stand with me, what we'll do is we'll just pray together. Father, we thank you for who you have created us to be. Thank you, Lord, for the gift that you placed inside us, all those attributes that come directly from who you are, that you wanted to dwell within us, that we would have relationship with you, that we would have relationship with one another, that we would form this body of the church. Lord, that we should be able to bear with each other's burdens, we should be able to lift each other up, we should be there to listen, to share with, to have a relationship with, to counsel, to pastor, to teach. Lord, help us never to overlook the simplicity and beauty of the relationships that you've established. Lord, help us not to seek you in places that are in vain. Help us not to confide in things that have no substance. Lord, help us to just put these things in their right place as we put you in yours, as Lord and Saviour and King over all. We thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty. We thank you, Lord, that you came and you dwelt upon this earth with us, and that you understand us, that you did walk with us, talk with us, you wept with us, and you died for us. Thank you, Lord, that you rose victorious. And Lord, I just ask that that you will look upon us, Lord, with favor. We're going to slip up. We will make mistakes. And I just ask, Lord, that you help us to come back to you daily. Lord, as each day goes by, that we come to you again. As Kim was hungry every morning, Lord, that we are hungry for you each day. So I ask, Lord, that you fill us. You fill us with your Spirit. You bring that manna from heaven, and you place it into our hearts each day. As I ask in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.